Let's turn now to a milestone coming this weekend. The Americans with Disabilities Act, the ADA, turns 25. The historic 1990 law changed the United States, and much of that change you can see. More wheelchair ramps, for example. But there are effects of the law that aren't so obvious. And joining us now with more is NPR national correspondent Pam Fessler. Hi, Pam.
Hello.
And NPR investigations correspondent Joe Shapiro. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you.
Well, Joe, let's start with you. You've been reporting on how the ADA, even though it's a U.S. law, has become sort of a global phenomenon since it was signed by President George H.W. Bush in 1990. What's happened since that moment?
Well, I think it's interesting that the ADA is this American response to a problem. We treated disability as a civil rights issue, and not as a health problem so much. We said what matters is not so much whether somebody can walk that matters. What matters is there a curb cut at the end of the street? Is there a lift on a bus, a ramp to a building so that people can get to work, to go to school, to get into a restaurant? And this idea that people with disabilities need their rights protected is a very American idea. So I've been surprised that the ADA has inspired similar disability laws around the world. There are nearly 200 countries now that have passed laws that were inspired by the ADA. And so I did a story that looked about how people with disabilities come from around the world. They come to the United States to learn about disability civil rights law. So one woman I met last week from Nigeria who uses a wheelchair, she'd been in the United States for just a couple of days, and she was amazed. She could get on a bus in her wheelchair. She loved the fact that in her hotel, she had a bathroom that she could get into. And I also talked to a woman named Susan Siegel with a group called Mobility International USA, who says people come, they see these things, and then they want to go home and they want to make change.
And so by coming to the United States and seeing what the Americans with Disabilities Act has accomplished, you see that, yes, people with disabilities should and can ride the public buses. Yes, people with disabilities can and should be at the high schools, at the universities. Yes, people with disabilities can be employed, can be leaders, can participate in recreation and sports, can basically have the same rights as everybody else. And I think that perhaps is the magic of the ADA.
So the act has obviously helped millions of people, but it's still not a perfect piece of legislation. And Pam, you've been focusing on some problems. What are people still concerned about these 25 years later?
Well, one of the big issues is that people with disabilities are much more likely to be poor and unemployed than people without disabilities, and that, in fact, this gap has widened since the ADA was enacted. So I spoke with a number of people, and one was 43-year-old Debbie Eagle of Tulsa, Oklahoma. She's been blind since birth. She has a bachelor's degree in special education. But she says, try as she might, she can't find a job, and any job. She thinks that employers are scared to hire people with disabilities because they might have to spend a lot of money accommodating them, and that they might get sued if they don't do that. There are many people who think that that might be a factor in some cases. But I also spent a lot of time with a young man named Emeka Naka. He's also from Tulsa, and he broke his neck playing semi-pro football. He's now paralyzed from his chest down. And one of his biggest problems, and this is something a lot of people with disabilities face, is transportation. Just getting around, doing your everyday tasks, going to school, trying to get a job. And he had been relying on a special city Lyft service to get around, but you have to make appointments a day in advance. There's a lot of missed appointments. So his friends launched an online fundraising campaign to get him his own handicapped accessible van, which he says has changed his life. But he also said it led to another problem, and that had to do with his federal disability benefits.
You can't save money, because you save money, then you lose your benefits. The system is set up to keep people under, and we've got to find a better way to make it work.
That's because right now, the law says if you're getting supplemental security income benefits, which NACA is, you can't have more than $2,000 in savings. There's this asset cap. And that was a problem when people started donating money for his van. He says at one point he had $4,000 in cash stored away in his closet because he didn't want to put it in the bank because he was worried that he might lose his benefits.
So that's an awful situation to be put in, to have to rely on cash in the closet. I mean, is there any fix for that?
Well, even Congress has realized that this law or this provision doesn't really make sense, especially if you're trying to get people more economically independent. So last year, Congress passed a law that will soon allow some people with disabilities to set up special savings accounts that will be exempt from this $2,000 asset limit. And advocates think that's a start, at least.
Mm-hmm. Well, Joe, back to you for a second, because you're quite a resource here. You've been writing about the disability rights movement since before the ADA even became law, and you were at the White House when it was signed 25 years ago. So in watching this legislation take effect over this past quarter century, have people beyond the disability community been affected by it?
Yes, I think that's one of the important lessons of it. I think we tend to think of the ADA as this nice law that helped those people over there, the folks in the wheelchairs, the people who are blind, the people who are deaf. But it's had wide applications, I think, for all of us. So for another story that I did, I had a lawyer named Sid Walensky with Disability Rights Advocates take me to the places that he sued under the ADA in New York City. So we did a little tour, and I wanted to see how those lawsuits that expanded access for people with disabilities ended up helping lots of other people too. We went to a subway station, the Dyckman Street subway station in Manhattan, where they sued to get an elevator to go up to the subway platform. And we sat there for an hour and watched who uses the subway. We didn't see people in wheelchairs. We saw mothers with babies in strollers. We saw people with rolling backpacks. We saw elderly people. So the things that we do to expand, to make the world more accessible to people with disabilities, is not just for some group over there. It ends up helping all of us.
That's NPR's investigations correspondent Joe Shapiro and NPR national correspondent Pam Fessler. And you can hear their stories about the Americans with Disabilities Act turning 25. You can hear them today through Sunday on NPR and at npr.org.